as I said in my prayer, today we are going to continue our series, How Will You Live? How Will You Live? Which is a study on how our faith and our politics should mix together. And my sincere prayer is that through this series, we will grow primarily not in our knowledge of politics, but in our relationship with Jesus Christ. And that as we resolve to glorify him no matter what, we will be able to bring this world what it desperately needs, what no candidate or political party can ever give it, and that is the good news of Jesus Christ. Amen, church? Amen. Now, I'm going to give you a couple encouragements like I did last week. If it ever feels like I'm trying to support one specific candidate, like, you know, just subtle things I say, ooh, I wonder if he's trying to tell us to vote for Biden or for Trump. I'm not doing it, okay? I promise you that is not my intent. The way that you vote is between you and the Holy Spirit in accordance to God's word, and far be it from me to jump in the middle of that. My sole desire is to help you look at your politics in God's word, and if you do that, you will vote in a way that glorifies God. Second, if I say something that you don't like, please do not tune me out. Do not tune me out. So we say here at Echo Lake, we are all under construction. We're all a work in progress. And one of the ways that we grow is when we challenge each other with new ideas and truths. But we don't grow when we shut each other out. So if I say something that sounds right with you, come talk to me. Because maybe you're going to help me grow, or vice versa. But that can never happen unless we talk together. All right, church? I'm like, mostly, okay, we'll see. They're like, we'll see what you say. Now, last week, we laid a foundation for how anyone should view politics. And if you missed that message, I want you today to go home and find a time to watch or listen to it on the WAP, on our Church Center app, on the website, through the podcast. I guarantee you, there's nothing better that you're going to listen to today or watch, better way to spend your time to get this foundation in your life of how to view politics, especially with everything that's going on. It's needed so much more than ever. So if you haven't seen it yet, tune in today. Now, last week, we talked about how we should view politics. Now, this week, as we're in week two, I want to talk about how we should communicate politics with each other. How should we communicate with each other? One of the things I've recently I've seen, well, actually, it's been around for a few years that I've heard it, is where people tell you never discuss politics or religion with other people. Have you ever heard that? Never discuss politics or religion. As if this is like the key to being a good human being, a good member of society, a good citizen, is to not discuss politics or religion. Now, maybe I'm just naive, but this just seems like a stupid standard to live by to me. Hey, you want good relationships? Well, just don't ever discuss two of the most important aspects of your life with anybody, and you'll be good. That just seems like a really silly way to live. But maybe we just say that because we're tired. We're tired of all the fighting. We're tired of all the immaturity. And if that's the case, look, I get it. I get it. I mean, when it comes to politics, it just feels like everybody in the world has turned into a bunch of jerks. Maybe I'm the only one, but it just feels that way. I mean, politicians come off like jerks. Reporters come off like jerks. But not even the jerkiness is, you know, celebrities come off like jerks. Starting to go through my mind now. But even outside of them, you know, because of the internet and social media, we all can come off like jerks. Even sweet, misguided grandmas and pastors can come off like jerks. We sit there, we get behind our computer just fuming, just spewing our opinions, relevant or not. And we say things that we would almost never say in real life to anybody. And somehow we're just okay with it. This is what our society is revolving around now. And even Christians are not excluded from this. The Barna Group, they did a study recently of non-Christians, and they said, hey, what are the characteristics that you notice in Christians the most? And the top three were anti-gay, judgmental, and hypocritical. Those were the top three. Now, there's something to be said for non-Christian bias, maybe, but I'm not sure. And I just sat there as I was reading this study, and I'm like, how is it possible that the people who are supposed to spread the most important message to the world, the only message that will bring hope and purpose to this world, the salvation of Jesus, how is it they could be seen this way primarily? How is that even possible? People that represent the Jesus that you read about. How is that possible? And so with that in mind, in regards to politics, my whole topic today, my whole goal is for us to learn how to not be a jerk. And I realize that doesn't sound very spiritual. What did the pastor talk about today? The glory of God, eternal damnation? No, how not to be a jerk. See, you know, you don't really read that in the Bible, those words. But when you think about what Jesus said in Matthew 15:11, he says, it's not what goes into the mouth that defiles somebody, it's what comes out of the mouth, what they say that defiles somebody. And if people know that we are Christians, when we defile ourselves by what we say, we also defile the gospel. The most important message for the entire world to hear. The message of hope that no government can ever give. And so it's critical today, it's my prayer that God will show you where you need to grow in the way that you communicate in your politics. Not so people like you more or that you can win more arguments, but that you may display the glory of God to those who need it. Sound good, church? Amen. So today to do this, we're going to start in Matthew 7, where we find Jesus doing the Sermon on the Mount. And he says in Matthew 7, verses 1 and 2, he says, judge not that you may not be judged. For with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged. And with the measure that you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eyes? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your own eye when there is a log in your eye? Now, let me be clear, because this is one of the verses that just angers me most in the Bible. It gets the vein popping out my neck. Is Jesus was not teaching that we shouldn't judge one another. Okay? The Greek word for judge, it means to disqualify. It means to condemn. Okay? There's nothing wrong with making judgments. In fact, Jesus says in John 7, he says to judge with right judgments. What he's teaching here is about hypocrisy. The idea where we point out the sin of others that as if they are not worthy of God without realizing our own sin. Hypocrisy. Now, the main reason he said this was because there were religious people in that time, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, who thought that they were better than everybody else because they followed all these religious traditions. They believed these religious traditions and they followed all of these rules. But Jesus says, no, that ain't how it works. He says, every single one of us are sinners. Every single one of us. And here is where we find my first don't be a jerk encouragement. Don't be a jerk. Realize we're all sinners. In the Sermon on the Mount earlier, he says, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are those who are meek. What does he mean by that? Blessed are those who understand what it says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Not some, not a few, but everyone. Republican, Democrat, Green Party, Libertarian have all fallen short of the glory of God. And it's important to remember this because when we remember it, it takes pride away from us. It takes away this belief that we are better than other people because we have some political views that are more aligned with God's word than they do. 2 Corinthians, Paul says, for the sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, that we in him we might become the righteousness of God. So that means not only are we sinners for falling short of the glory of God, that it is only by the grace of God and the death and resurrection of Jesus that we can have a right relationship with God again. Which means we have literally nothing to boast about. Even our intellect. We have not earned our intellect. We have not earned our perspective. It is given by God. It is given by the Holy Spirit. We have nothing to boast in. And when we understand this, we no longer lord it over others. We no longer say, I'm wiser than so-and-so, or I'm wealthier, or I'm more in the know than so-and-so. We only say, listen, I am just a beggar in need of bread. I'm just a beggar who God came and saved. It brings humility into our lives. And humility is needed in this world to communicate the gospel during times of intense political environments like we live in right now. We're not better than anyone else. We are just fallen and painful and in pain and hurting as the people that sit on the other side of the aisle. Now, not only does this understanding of our human sinfulness prevent us from seeing ourselves better than other people, it also reminds us how easily, because of our sin nature, that we can become influenced by things that we should not be influenced by. Proverbs 4:23 says, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Guard your heart. So what does it mean to guard your heart in terms of politics? I saw this fun quote on Facebook. It said, the news used to tell us what happened, and we had to decide how to feel about it. Now the news tells us how to feel, and we have to decide if it ever really happened. I don't know about you, but like, this is what it feels like when I'm watching the news. And I realize this may seem a little dark, a little pessimistic, a little cardboard, the end is near-ish. But you have to realize that news stations, they have bills to pay. And ratings pay those bills. And the vast majority of commentators, they know what drives ratings. They know what drives clicks. They know what drives shares. They know what drives likes. They know what drives profit. And I'm going to clue you in on something. It's not gentleness. It's not thankfulness. It's not tenderness or compassion that drives ratings. I mean, if that were the case, then the Hallmark Channel would have its own 24-hour news station. That's not what drives it. What drives these things are fear and urgency. Fear and urgency is what drives ratings. It's what keeps people coming back. I'll give you an example. During the 2016 campaign, CNN's average daytime audience went up 50%. Their nighttime audience went up 70%. They brought in nearly $1 billion that year. $1 billion. Best year ever. And they're not the only one. You can add Fox or any other major news station to the list. So that plays a role in what they choose to say and how they choose to say it. And I'm not trying to say, you know, burn the media. What I'm saying is you have to realize, you have to guard your heart versus what is being told to you. I mean, even without all these incentives, all of these news stations are filled with humanity just like you and me. They're all fallen, just like you and me. They all have their own biases, just like you and me. If we were in the news, we probably wouldn't do a whole lot better because we're human. We have these points of view, and it's really hard to ignore them. Jeremiah 17:9, it says, the heart is deceitful above everything and desperately sick. Who can understand it? And when I talk about guarding our hearts, I'm not trying to lay blame on all the media, right? Because most of us, if we get into politics at all, we rush to get our information. We'll go on the web and we go find our special interest groups or our favorite political, you know, spinmeisters, or some of you love to go find your political conspiracy theorists. And you go to Facebook and you're sharing your favorite political Facebook shares and your forwarding your emails. And they're all things that systematically just reinforce your own biases and your own beliefs. And this is just another way that we kind of end up like a jerk. Because the information that we have just continues to reaffirm what we believe. We choose to live in these echo chambers where every voice that we listen to is repeating back to us what we would say ourselves. And we become stuck in our own perceptions and our own beliefs. And it's very easy for us to jump down the rabbit hole of fake news and get caught up in extreme news. For example, you might remember the 2012 presidential campaign. It was Mitt Romney and Barack Obama. And Mitt Romney was challenging Obama for Obama's last 4 years. And so there's this picture that came out, and it showed Mitt Romney sitting in a chair getting his shoes shined. And then it showed Barack Obama fist bumping a custodian. And this, if you remember, this went viral, and it was a big thing. And it was all about how Romney was wealthy, and he was privileged, and he could never relate to anybody, and how Obama was humble and was is accessible to everybody. But the awkward truth that came out later was Romney was not getting his shoes shined. It was a TSA agent who was scanning his feet for metal. He was going through a security process, just like everybody did before they got on private planes. But somebody wanted to use this to reinforce their political objective. Now, for those of you who are politically sensitive, I'm not trying to say anything about Barack Obama. I'm not trying to say anything about Mitt Romney. I'm just using this as an example. I'm sure it's happened to President Trump. I'm sure it's happened to Vice President Biden. But when we're not careful, when we're not guarding our hearts, we don't stop to check and look at these things. We just see something, we like it, and then we accept it as truth. So don't be a jerk. Guard your heart. Be curious about the news that you watch. When the news is telling you something, are they trying to tell you a fact, or are they trying to tell you how to feel about that fact? Be curious, because it's true what they say. Somebody is always trying to sell you something. What don't they tell you? And don't be lazy. Do research. Do research. Figure out what they are saying is true. And I'd say go to a fact-checking site, but I've been to some fact-checking sites that need their own fact-checking sites on them. And it's hard work. I get it. We just don't want to deal with it. And so we just are lazy, and we just reaffirm our own biases. It takes work to be well-informed. You know, and watch news from a variety of sources. And I'm not telling this is what you should do. Here's what I do. Every night I sit down on my Apple TV app, and I'll watch one of the Democratic-leaning news stations, ABC, NBC, CBS. And then I'll watch one of the Republican-leading news stations, like Fox. And it's amazing how the same story can get covered so differently. Like, there'll be a picture of President Trump eating a hot dog, right? And so CNN, the headline will read, "Trump murders pig in cold blood." And then I'll turn on to Fox, be a picture of Trump eating a hot dog. "Trump supports local farmers." If you ever watch both of them, you'll know what I'm talking about. It's like, how can this both be true? So sometimes what I'll do when I see a situation like that, I'll go look up when Trump was actually talking about when he ate a hot dog. And he'll be like, "I was just hungry, so I just grabbed a hot dog." Or if I see that on Biden or Harris or Pence, I will go up and I'll say, okay, I'll go find the clip where they were talking themselves, and I will listen to their own words, free of any political bias. We have to put the work in, though. Otherwise, because of our sinful nature, we will just spiral towards what we already want to believe. Taking a drink so you can have a moment of reflection. Now, there's one other thing we can do to guard our hearts. And it's not about what we keep out. It's about what we put in. Okay? And so here's how it goes. Don't be a jerk. Stop outsourcing your beliefs. Stop outsourcing your beliefs. You see, we become jerks when we outsource our political beliefs to our political party. If our party says it, then we're like, yes. If the other party says it, then we're like, no, boo. Instead, go to the one who has created truth. Some of you, I gotta bet you are frustrated. You're like, I don't even know what to believe anymore. I don't know who to believe. I feel like giving up. Instead of giving up, why don't you start with the one that you know that you can believe? The creator of the heavens and the earth. The Alpha and Omega, the great I am. Why don't you start there? Far too many Christians have such a juvenile understanding of Scripture that they don't know what to believe. And so because of overexposure and political bias, they just default to what their party tells them. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all of Scripture is God-breathed and profitable for teaching, for reproof, correction, and for training in righteousness, right living. I mean, what if it comes, when it comes down to like topics like immigration or abortion, instead of starting with what your political party believes, what if you were to open up the Bible and read it as if it was actually God's truth and see what it says on these subjects? You started there. Now, the Bible doesn't speak to every subject. It doesn't say, here's how you vote on immigration. But it lays down principles for how you should approach every subject that you are going to vote on. But you have to be willing to put in the work. And if you're not, all you're going to do is outsource your beliefs to somebody else's God. You can either get your beliefs from the God, or you can outsource them to somebody else's God. Let me tell you what I mean. You may not know this, but we have a Supreme Court nominee going on right now. It's been in the news just a wee bit, a little bit, right? And so we have some on the one side of the aisle that are concerned that this judge will get in with the distinct purpose of overturning Roe versus Wade, okay? And this is not about abortion, it's just an example. We'll talk about abortion in the next couple of weeks, okay, amongst other topics. Then you have others on the other side of the aisle that they really want somebody in there who is going to overturn Roe versus Wade. Now, why are they concerned about this? Because what's the job of a judge? Job of the judge is to interpret the Constitution. That's it. That's their job. Look at the Constitution and interpret it. That's it. That's what they do. That's it. Don't make policy. Don't break policy. They judge according to the Constitution. So really, the only thing the left and the right should be concerned with is, will this person do that job? But that doesn't happen often, does it? They are very concerned about making sure that they have judges that are going to vote a certain way. Why? Because they believe that that way is the right way. Their God, whether it's a real God or just an ultimate belief system, is driving that. When they say, we don't want somebody in there who is religious because we're afraid of what they're going to do. Why are they afraid of that? Because their own God in their life, their own ultimate belief system says it's wrong to change this law. You see, the point I'm making is that we all come from a place of religion in our politics, whether it involves a God or not. And this is why I always laugh when people say we should separate politics and religion. It's impossible. Everybody has an ultimate ethos in their life that they look to, whether it's a Christian God, a different God, or no God at all. Everybody's driven by that. If you watch it, you'll see it. And so you got a choice. You're going to either have your beliefs driven by the God of the Bible, or you're going to have them driven by somebody else's God. The decision is up to you. Now, Scripture, it does not always not just give you the truth, does not just give you a truth to stand on, but it tells you how to communicate that truth. And this goes back to what we saw earlier when in the Barna study, where they said Christians, the top three, were anti-gay, judgmental, and hypocritical. Okay? Because if a Christian aims for truth but doesn't aim for grace, we become nothing more than a loudmouth preacher on the side of the road with a bullhorn just screaming at everybody as they walk by. For some of you, I just described your Facebook wall. Screaming at people. 1 Peter 3:15 says, always be prepared to make a defense for anyone who asks you for the reason for the hope that you have, yet do this with gentleness and respect. He says, respect and be gentle with those who disagree with you. My goodness, could our politicians do well from memorizing this Bible verse? Because that gentleness and respect is what's going to break down people's walls. In fact, one pastor, in one of his messages, he gave what I thought were three fantastic encouragements on how we display this gentleness and respect when it comes to politics. And these I want to share with you. Number one is to listen. when it comes to people who disagree with you, listen. James 1:19, I don't have it up on the screen, but it says, know this, my beloved brothers, let everyone, every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. Quick to listen and slow to speak. Or as someone said, there's a reason that God gave you two ears and one mouth. Be quick to listen. And listen to people who do not agree with you. Listen to people whose words do not feel like sweet honey in your ears. And I realize that this is not easy. It's not easy to sit down and have to listen to your, you know, crazy conservative Uncle Carl go off, you know, about how the government is going to put us all in prison and take our guns. Or, you know, it's, you know, not easy to listen to your cousin who's a liberal named Lisa just go off on, you know, how Trump is going to set us back in race relations 150 years. It's not easy. But listen, we've gotten far too comfortable with this cancel culture that we have developed in our country. Too comfortable. And we blame other people. Like, we get mad at, you know, universities when they cancel speakers because somebody who doesn't agree with them complain. But is our hearts any different when we stop talking to people who we disagree with? We distance ourselves. We need to listen, to pay attention. And we don't just listen and waiting for them to finish so that we can crush their points of view. And we don't listen just so we're looking where we can poke holes in what they're saying. We listen to understand them. There's this thing that I teach in marriage counseling. It's called active listening. If you've ever been in counseling, you know this. Or my friend Pastor Rob, he makes it sound better. He calls it repeat and respond. And this is where you listen to somebody and then you say back to them what you think they said. And I love doing this in marital counseling because the wife will say something and I'll say, okay, to the husband, what did they just say? And what the husband says that the wife said, nowhere close. And it happens so often that we think we hear something, but that's not what they were trying to communicate. And so when you respond, repeat to them, okay, so what you're telling me is this, and they say yes, then you know how to properly respond to it. I tell you right now, and this is not even politics, this would do your life so good if you practice this in every area of your life, okay? Dating relationships, marriages, with people at work, literally everywhere, repeat and respond. Repeat and respond. I'll be getting a text later from a guy, what was it that you said today to do what and respond? Repeat and respond. And when you listen, and you actually actively listen, do you know what happens? You learn something. You actually learn something about somebody else. Proverbs 4:7 says, wisdom is supreme, therefore get wisdom, though it cost all that you have, get understanding. Listen and learn. As Christians, our faith is tied to an event, a three-day event, a death and a resurrection. We should never be afraid of new information. We should never be afraid to hear somebody else who wants to challenge our views on creation or our views on marriage. We should never have any fear to be challenged or to learn new information. Now listen, if someone's faith is not in Jesus, I get it why they're afraid. I get it, because what they hold on to, their beliefs, that's all that they got. So I get that. But as a Christian, at the end of the day, Paul says this, I preach Christ crucified. That is the crux of the Christian belief, our faith, our hope. We should not be afraid to have these conversations. We should not be afraid to have somebody pose us a question about what we believe in the Bible and be able to say, I don't know. As if when we say, I don't know, literally the pillars of heaven are going to collapse and the gospel will fail. We should never be afraid to have these conversations and to learn something new. And it's hard because every time I'm watching something and I'm watching some person who I just feel is like a complete moron, I'm just being real with you, just like I cannot believe the stuff they're spewing out of their mouth, I have to force myself, pay attention, listen to what they are saying. Listen to what they are saying. And if you really listen, you're going to learn something. To my Democratic friends, Republicans are not crazy. To my Republican friends, Democrats are not crazy. Okay, they're not crazy. Nobody's crazy. They just sit in a different place in life. They've had different experiences, different influences in our life that drive what they think is important. Now, it may sound crazy to you, but in return, what you believe is always going to sound crazy to somebody else. And when we realize this and we stop going, man, that's crazy, that's nuts, what we do is we stop taking the humanity out of other people. We stop disrespecting other people and start valuing them for who they are as children, or hopefully one day children of God made in his image, rather than just their belief. You know, some of us, we feel like we just, God endowed us with the right political views. We were just the chosen. We often don't think about that our political views are often born of where we live, how we were raised, the ways that we are educated, our hurts and our joys. And these are just the few of the factors that drive us. I'll meet a Democrat who grew up in the inner city, and they'll have dealt with, I know a couple, and they've dealt with a couple bad cops. And so when they go to the polls, they are driven for justice reform. Okay? I'll also meet some other people who have been the victim of horrible crime, gang-related crime. And so when they go to the polls, their drive is to make sure that we're making our towns safe. Neither are crazy, but they have different experiences that are driving their passions and their votes. But if we listen, what is at the core of each of their desires? It's a desire for justice, which is a good thing. God created justice. He likes justice. But when we can respect this view and this view and say, okay, how do we come together to find justice? And when we are willing to listen, not only say, okay, how do we come together to find justice? We say, let me tell you about the God who will bring ultimate justice one day. And we find that hole, that need that only God can fill. But it is only when we listen and we learn. And then finally, when we love. When we love. A new commandment I give to you, Jesus says, to love one another just as I loved you, you also are to love one another. And he goes on to say, by this love, people will know that you are my disciples. So he says, look, if you love like Jesus, then people will know that you're a follower of Jesus. And love means looking at people on the other side of the aisle and realizing those are not my enemies. If Jesus is who he says he is, we have one enemy, and that is Satan. And he's trying to trick, divide, and deceive every one of us from finding our Savior. And so my desire is not to crush my enemy, but to make them my friend for the glory of God. In fact, during the Civil War, I found this great quote from Abraham Lincoln. They were criticizing him because he wasn't being hard enough on the Confederate Southern people. And he says, Abraham Lincoln said this. He goes, "Do I not destroy my enemies when I make them my friends?" I said, wow. And I was thinking about this week during one of the Senate, the judge judiciary hearings. I saw Senator Feinstein, you might have saw this, who's a Democrat, and Senator Graham, who's a Republican, and they hugged each other after the afterwards. And just some of the extremists just lost their loving minds. Well, Feinstein needs to be stepped down from her leadership position because she gave a hug to a Republican. I'm like, what? This is exactly what we need to be able to do, is to love those who we disagree with. Now, this doesn't mean we don't speak the truth in love, as we read in Ephesians 4:1. This doesn't mean we don't share God's word and we say, well, I don't want to offend people. But it means that we do it in such a way that we speak truth in love. You see this with Jesus and the Samaritan woman. Remember, Jews and Samaritans, they didn't get along. And Jesus says, look, I got to go to Samaria. And he meets this woman at the well who's not living the right kind of life. And he says, look, you're not living the right kind of life. But what I have for you, what you're looking for in all those relationships that you have, I can provide for you. You will never thirst for love or hope again. And then she goes out and she tells her entire town, and the message of Jesus gets spread because Jesus was willing to go to somebody who was on the other side of the aisle, relationally speaking, and speak truth and love to them and to listen. And I say that because I think in our power-hungry political culture, we're like, how is that going to really get anything done? But listen, think about it. When Jesus started his ministry with 12 guys, they were up against a Roman Empire, the greatest empire at the time. They were up against the temple and all of the religious Pharisees that wanted to crush what they're doing. Now the Roman Empire is just a footnote in history. The temple is gone. Christianity remains. The message of Christ remains. And if you read the pages of Acts, when the church started, it wasn't for political unrest. They started it. It was by their love for one another. That is how the message of God spread. And even in the times where you see Paul speak to the leaders, he respected and he honored them. Remember one time he said, look, I see that you guys worship many gods. These people, they worship so many gods, they had a statue to the unknown God. So if there was any God that they didn't worship, they had a statue for that just so they didn't miss him. And he says, I see that you guys worship many gods. So you know that there's something greater. But he says, let me tell you about the one true God that is real and will change your life. And as we listen, as we learn, as we love and speak that truth in love, in the same way, we will change this world, even if it's just one person at a time. Amen, church? Let's pray.